Leviticus chapter 4. This is about sins of ignorance. If anyone sins unintentionally in any of the things which Yahweh has commanded not to be done and does any one of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer for his sin which he has sinned a young bull without blemish to Yahweh for a sin offering. So he has sinned, even though it was in ignorance and unintentional. We need to recognize that although we live in Christ, sin is still sin. And when somebody sins against God, even in ignorance, not knowing it was a sin, he still feels it. It's like if I tread on your foot, well, I did it accidentally, I didn't mean to, but it still hurt you. Although it was unintentional, I still need to apologize and do what I can to help you. And so it is with sins of ignorance. We can't shrug and say, oh yeah, but I didn't know. You hurt God. And so that's why they had to make a sacrifice. And even a priest could make a mistake, even the anointed priest, which I take to be the high priest. And even the high priest could sin in ignorance. And if he did, he should bring a young bull for a sin offering. He shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and kill the bull before Yahweh. When they put their hands on the head of the animal, it was as if they were saying, this represents me. I should die. And of course, that looks forward to the Lord Jesus, who was our representative. And we must lay our hand on his head, as it were, make that act of identification. And the first act that we do is baptism, that we go underwater and come up out of water like he died and resurrected. And you continue that identification by living a life in Christ and by things like the breaking of bread, where we take the bread as a symbol of his body and the wine as a symbol of his blood to show that I am connected with him still. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before Yahweh, before the veil of the sanctuary. So it's not that God himself lived in the holy place or the most holy place, but he was represented there by the ark. And this idea is very common in the Bible, that you can come before the Lord, before Yahweh, without it meaning that you actually are up in heaven. Because whatever represents God in that sense is God. So a priest, for example, was God's representative. He wasn't one and the same as God, but he was God's representative. To come before the priest was to come before Yahweh, or to come before the ark was to come before Yahweh. And so people have misunderstood some of the language that's used about the Lord Jesus, that he, of course, was the greatest representation of God, manifestation of God. And so in that sense, he functioned as God, as did the priests and that. But that doesn't mean that he was God himself in person. So they had to recognize, as I say, that he has sinned if he sinned ignorantly. He had to make this sin offering, and then they had to make a peace offering to celebrate the peace with God through forgiveness. Then if the whole congregation of Israel sins, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done any of the things which Yahweh has commanded not to be done, and are guilty, when the sin is known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for a sin offering. So again, they were guilty, even though they sinned in ignorance. This is a major theme, then, that sins committed in ignorance or unintentionally are still sins, and they had to be atoned for. When a ruler sins and unwittingly, unknowingly does any one of the things which Yahweh his God has commanded not to be done and is guilty, so again, the sin of ignorance still brought guilt. If his sin in which he has sinned is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish, and again he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat, identifying with it, and kill it. If any one of the common people sins unwittingly, unknowingly, unintentionally, and is guilty, if his sin which he has sinned is made known to him, Then he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And again he lays his hand on the head of the goat as a sin offering. So, quite clearly, sins of ignorance were counted as sins. So that's why David says, "Forgive me for my secret sins." That is, sins which I don't know about. They're in secret from me, but I'm sure they are there. Now, if we kind of expect God to forgive us for our sin, which we are committing in ignorance, well, we also should be pretty generous to people who sin against us and have no idea, really, what they're doing, how much they are hurting us, what it means to us that they have done that or the other. Because as we forgive, so we shall be forgiven. Jesus emphasizes this. Whatever attitude or policy you have to forgiving other people is what God will show to you. So I think it also shows that these sins of ignorance, God, as it were, tolerated, although he did reveal them at sometimes to some people. It just shows that you can be accepted with God even if you sin and do not repent. So it's rather too simplistic to say, oh yeah, well, I go along in life, I'm pretty good, and then, oh well, I do occasionally have a bit of a whoopsie and I sin, and yeah, I ask God to forgive me and that's good, and that's it, and I shall therefore only forgive you if you repent and get on the carpet in front of me and say you're very sorry. It doesn't quite work like that, does it? Because we commit sin in ignorance, and we ask God to forgive us for those sins of ignorance, even though we don't know them. Cleanse me from secret sins, David says. And I think we therefore have to be like that to others, to accept them by reason of who they are, our brethren in Christ, rather than go around demanding of them all the time specific repentance and say that, no, I won't forgive you unless you repent. We should practice a policy of total forgiveness, with or without repentance.